the Glimt have enjoyed another incredible Champions League night after beating the three-time European champions, Inter. Elsewhere, Club Brugge 3, Atletico 3 was a thriller. Bayer Leverkusen leave Greece with a lead over Olympiacos, while Newcastle scored 6 at Karabag. Let's break it all down another night in the knockout playoff round of the UEFA Champions League. Daily, welcome you to the official UEFA Champions League podcast. Delighted to say European football expert Kevin Hatchard is with me. And Kev, as I mentioned there in our opener, I mean, so many great stories tonight in the competition.
What a night. I mean, incredible football, lots of goals, twists and turns, and developing one of the stories of the European season, no doubt about it, in Bodø/Glimt.
Yeah, midway point at the ties, but brilliantly set up for next week. Okay, let's move to our big match atmosphere in Norway then. Why not? As Bodø/Glimt welcomed Inter, watching for Match Day Live was Richard Connolly alongside Kevin.
Infield. This is nicely worked. Beautifully done. What a goal! A smashing goal for Bodø/Glimt by Sondre Fett. They worked that so beautifully into a central position. And Fett celebrates with a thumb in the mouth as the yellow scarves swing around.
Across the goalkeeper, to his right, and into the side netting. Gorgeous finish, lovely goal.
And Barella will curl in across towards the back post beautifully. It might come for Esposito, who thumps it home. And it's an equalising goal for Inter less than 10 minutes after Bodø/Glimt took the lead.
All Esposito can do is react, and he does it superbly. Lovely turn, great finish, proper striker's goal.
Here's Kasper Hu now for Bodø/Glimt. He's got options here to his left. He plays the pass. Jens Petter Hauge goes for goal and scores! A marvellous finish right into the top corner. Hu to Hauge and Hauge to the top corner. It's Bodø/Glimt 2, Inter 1.
He hit that expertly. That is a brilliant goal, not only in its construction from Hu, but in the clinical nature of the finish. Jan Sommer, well beaten.
Well, Hauger's on the run again here. He's found Sondre Fett once more. There are plenty forward here. Blomberg's in, he squares it. It must be, it is! Kasper Hu has finished it off. It's another sensational team goal for the Norwegians. And would you believe this scoreline? It's Bodø/Glimt 3 into 1.
A remarkable first leg win, and Richard joins us now. Richard, I don't think I'm going to forget the commentary line, Hu to Hauge and Hauge top corner in any time soon. Brilliant win for Bodø/Glimt. Should we take it back to the first half anyway? And there was no surprise really since the win against Atletico that they were going to go with the same 11 tonight.
Yeah, the same 11, and the same intensity, the same desire, the same courage principally, to attack in central areas with numbers and just to play so bravely. They weren't always perfect by any means. Indeed, Inter had good early chances before Fett got that opening goal. But when it did come, it was the kind of delightful connection between several players that you just can't help but enjoy. And the little flick from Hu round the corner for Fett, who then finished it off, it's a smashing goal, and it did set the tone for the night. And though Inter did come back into it very well before half-time, you know, that it really set up the occasion, which had begun with wonderful fireworks even before kickoff. There was a huge sense of occasion. And for these players, yes, they've got European experience, but they really lived up to that occasion.
And what we knew was going to happen was that Bodø were going to play on the front foot. They were going to take risks. They were going to commit men forward. And they were going to leave gaps at the back. Inter were finding those gaps in the first half. When we got to the second half, they were finding those gaps a lot less regularly. And I think a lot of that was down to the incredible work rate in midfield of Berg and Fett and Evjen, and also some outstanding individual and collective defending from the back four. And you look at the quality of the first goal, the quality of the second and third, matched it, if not eclipsed it.
Because they're not playing underdog football here, are they?
No.
And this looks like, I mean, we made the point in commentary, it's almost like this hive mind understanding between them all, because they're not looking at each other. There was even a counter-attack at the end of the game, Rich, where a pass just kind of played blindly forward, but there was a runner. They just know when they're going to move. And I suppose this is basically still the same team, isn't it? They reached the Europa League semi-final last season.
Yeah, there's a lot of familiar faces, and they've built confidence in themselves, in the method. But they also have the knowledge, and they had the knowledge coming in tonight, having won the last two league phase matches against such big opposition in Manchester City and Atletico Madrid, that Inter, strange though it would seem, held no fears for them. You know, this Inter side packed full of world stars, top of Serie A, been to Champions League finals, and on terrific form, you know, who'd won their last six games in all competitions, hadn't been beaten away from home since, you know, the back end of last year, hadn't conceded a goal away from home since the back end of last year. All of a sudden, Bodø/Glimt are playing through them like they're any other team.
If you look at the second goal, they're able to win that ball in midfield, and then they get Kesper, who on the move, running at Inter. And again, it's that synergy, it's that awareness of what's around them at all times. He knows Hauge's to his left, so then it's about, can you wait that pass perfectly? And that's what he does. And then all Hauge's got to do, I'm going to say that as if it's easy, but he's taken the complications out of it by playing the perfect pass. So then it's one touch to control, and then another to put his foot through it and find the top corner beyond a top goalkeeper in Jan Sommer. The third is probably the goal of the night,
yeah,
really,
I think so. Yeah.
Because the combination on the edge of the area, and again, playing the ball blind, knowing that your man is going to be there, and Blomberg gets played through into the box, he's only got the goalkeeper to beat. It would have been so easy to just either be selfish or panic a bit and think, I'm going to have to go for goal here. No, he knows exactly that who's going to be there square, and just plays it to him, and it's an empty net.
And you knew he was going to roll it as well, didn't you? You knew he was going to roll it across, because that's the way they do it. You know, they create these wonderful chances by going right at the heart of you. And they do it so quickly and so accurately that you're unable to respond. That's the thrilling element of it.
And what it speaks to, I've talked about Kjetil Knutsen's coaching, but if you widen this out a bit as well, this is about having an environment where players feel comfortable. They've done an enormous amount of work on the mental side of the game, Bodø/Glimt, and they all know each other's game inside out, and it really shows.
There's certainly something magical in the air here, and there's something wonderful about the coaching that Knutsen is providing for this team. And they are, you can see there is joy in the way they play. They are loving every single second of it.
The three players who were top of the distance covered chart at the end of the game were the three Bodø/Glimt midfielders, Berg, Evjen, Fett. And they worked as a unit the whole time, because what happens is Berg drops in, Fett and Evjen get forwarded between the lines into areas where they can really help the team. But they work back incredibly well when they lose that ball, because they're on the high wire the whole time.
Yeah.
Because Knutsen says to them, I don't mind you getting 5-6 men forward as long as I can trust you to work hard and come back and try and fight the fire when we lose it. And they just have that belief in each other. It's a phenomenal football team.
I loved Fett tonight. He got the first goal. His was the ball forward. He made the interception and played it forward first time to Hurt, who found Hauge for the second goal. And then his was the pass between defenders that he lifted through for Blomberg to set up Hurt for the third goal. So he had the pass before the assist on two goals and the goal. They were really decisive contributions.
What Kesper Hu is doing up front is wild, by the way. Two goals against Manchester City, winner at the Metropolitano against Atletico Madrid, and now involved in all three goals against the Serie A leaders. I mean, this is just an unbelievable
100 million euro signing, I think, for someone. Look, he won player of the match in the end. Was there enough in the game, Richard? And obviously, the game goes back to San Siro in 6 days' time for Christian Kivo to believe his team can turn this around.
Yeah, it's not done by any means. Now, if you said to either of us right now, well, Inter are going to win the second leg 4-1, I don't think we'd say that was an impossible scenario. No. Now, tonight could have been a different scoreline. Darmian struck the post, 26th minute, when it was 1-0 to Berta before Esposito's equaliser. Right at the start of the second half, there was a bit of a mess in the Berta Glimt defence, and Martinez thought he'd scored, and it bounced back off the post, and they scrambled it away. You know, this could have been a different game. There were moments within it that where Inter were maybe a little unfortunate, didn't make the most of opportunities they had. And we could have been talking about a game in which it might have ended up 3-1 to Inter. That's plausible. So, you know, you have to mark the occasion and enjoy the occasion, because it's brand new for us all, this, to see this team at this kind of level of football doing what they've done. But we have to all look at it with cool heads and say, at San Siro, is it likely Inter will win by 2 goals or more? You know, yes, it is. It is, frankly. I mean, it's set up beautifully.
I can't wait for that game.
It could be anything.
Can we have it now?
I don't know who's picking the standout game for next week, our main commentary game, but this has got to be... You'd throw the hat in the ring
for this one, wouldn't you, straight away?
Yeah. Okay, next up, we'll look at the other results elsewhere in Europe tonight.
Take UEFA Champions League Matchday Live with you wherever you go, with audio commentary, real-time stats and much, much more. Get the complete experience and download the official Champions League app today.
Three more matches to get to. Let's go to Bruges first of all. What a match this was as it finished. Club Brugge 3, Atletico 3. Atletico were 2 up by half time. Alvarez with a penalty. Ademola Lookman from close range. But by the hour mark, the Belgian side were level. Onyedika and Trissoli with the goals. On minute 79, an own goal from Joel Ordonez appeared to have given Atletico the win. But Christos Solis, back from injury, smashed in a goal for 3-3. Kev, that is a remarkable result. And I think you made the point earlier, that goal at 3-2, psychologically, could see a team off, really. That goal for Atletico.
Yeah, because it's the nature of it as well. It's an own goal, and you think, oh, we've done all this work to get back, and now we're behind again. So to dig deep and find a way is really impressive. And you look at their last three games in the competition, scored 10 goals. And they've done it under massive pressure. You know, they went into those final two games of the league phase. They had to win at Kairat. They won 4-1. They had Marseille up, and Marseille were on the cusp of going through. And they beat them 3-0. And that was a perfectly fair scoreline as well. You're talking about a team that took 4 points from its first four games. So to turn it around in the way that they have is very, very impressive. Atletico have had a bit of a crazy few days, beat Barcelona 4-0 in the Copa del Rey, then lost 3-0 at Rayo Vallecano, so they're still looking for that balance between attack and defence, which of course is quite an unusual thing for a Diego Simeone team, but you look at the firepower they have and you can kind of understand it. You've got Lookman, you've got Serlo, you've got Alvarez, you've got, you know, Griezmann.
That's a front four almost, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
I mean, on the night, let's look at this then. Simeone started on the right, Lookman left, Alvarez, Griezmann. That feels, sometimes my memories of Simeone's compact 4-4-2, say, of a decade ago, he could have four central midfielders across the pitch, couldn't he? And now it feels like proper wingers, proper forwards, and maybe this is the product that we get more great games like this. And Lookman in particular, Kev, great signing. I mean, it looks like an obvious one, really, but another goal for him on his club Champions League debut.
He looks like he's been there for 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's remarkable, really. And he's not an easy coach to impress, Simeone, immediately. But I think he's got that dynamism. He's got that work rate. And he affects the game. And he has been. He's been scoring goals. And I do think this is part of this evolution with Atletico, because they've come so close so often playing that kind of really solid football and, you know, really thinking about, well, what do we look like when we don't have the ball? Mm. But actually, you know, they've got a really good chance of making the Copa del Rey final. They are in the box seat having drawn this game in this tie. Maybe that is going to be the key to actually, you know, have those quality players in attacking positions that can win a match for you.
What do you like about this Club Brugge team?
I really like the fearlessness. I like the fact that they never think they're beaten. I like the fact they believe they can score goals against anyone. And they've got, you know, real quality in attacking areas as well. Trezoldi, he's gone the long way round to get to this level, but he is a player that looks like he really belongs.
Great finish for two.
Yeah, super close finish. Solis, yeah. We've mentioned. And you've got that experience in midfield, a guy like Van Aken who scored more European goals for them than anyone. So, yeah, it's that blend of youth and experience. And you look at a guy like Ordóñez as well. I mean, he's a guy we've talked about as a rising star for quite some time, but he's been racking up the games at this level. So, you know, they've got young guys who are learning all the time. And even Saez, who made the, you know, the handball, the error for the handball, he's getting plenty of game time at this level as well. So it's a team that is evolving all the time.
Hans Van Aken, by the way, was the player in the match. Second leg at the Metropolitano in 6 days' time. The early kickoff on Wednesday night came from Baku, where Qarabağ faced Newcastle United.
Right into the corner, Kieran Trippier delivers, and ciao! Another for Newcastle, two goals already. Penalty given for Newcastle. It's Gordon, it's 3-0. Two for Gordon, three for Newcastle United. Anthony Gordon on a hat-trick, and he's got it! Less than 2 minutes after he scored from the spot, Anthony Gordon gets another. A night to remember for Newcastle's number 10. Goalkeeper comes. Penalty. Gordon with another. 5-0. Newcastle lead. Four of those from Anthony Gordon. Zubir. Jafar Guliev. Oh, it's there! It's been given. No offside. Qarabağ on the board against Newcastle United. Barnes finds Murphy. Murphy takes aim. A big deflection. Takes it beyond Kukowski for Newcastle United. Sixth of the night. Full time, Qarabağ 1, Newcastle United 6.
Yes, stellar results. Big teams have struggled against Qarabağ this season, but Newcastle with that commanding first half performance. 4 goals for Anthony Gordon in a single half of football. He's on 10 for the season in the Champions League. He's now Newcastle's record goal scorer in the competition. He's overtaken Alan Shearer, and he's just the second English player to reach double digits in a Champions League campaign, the other being Harry Kane. Let's hear from him now.
Very proud. Proud of everybody else. I know Qarabağ are a really good team. It's a hard place to come, but I felt like our press from early on, to put pressure on them, to be relentless, it kind of set the tone for the game, and that's where all of our chances came from.
So Anthony Gordon right now in this team, Kev, even with Nicolas Valtomada, who's looked really impressive since he arrived at Newcastle, but they're now playing different roles in this team, and it seems to be working for Eddie Howe.
Yeah, Gordon's got that ability to run in behind. He's got that mobility, so we know him as a winger, but he can play up front. Valtomada's a fascinating player anyway, because he's this big, tall guy that you think, oh, well, he's got to be a number nine, surely, and he is by trade. But actually, he's dropped deeper into this kind of Joel Linton role, because Joel Linton's been in and out. He's had some injury problems. Bruno Guimaraes is out at the moment as well. So he's filling in there, and he's got great touch, great awareness of what's around him. And so there are elements of that position that really suit him. I did not see this coming in any way, shape or form because, well, because Qarabağ...
Because you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I resign immediately. Qarabağ have been excellent in the Champions League. I know what happened at Anfield. They were beaten handily. I get that. But in general, they won at Benfica when they were 2-0 down. They beat Eintracht Frankfurt 3-2. They beat Copenhagen. They drew 2-2 with Chelsea. For Newcastle to blow them away, basically, in the first half, it was 18-0, the shot count at half-time. It's just unbelievable. And they could have had more goals than they had, actually. So that is just a muscular, intense, excellent Newcastle display. And they haven't been great away from home this season, Newcastle. Eddie Howe's been quite open about that, quite plain about that. But I think that's 3 in a row now in all competitions away from home that they've won. So maybe they're turning the corner at the right time.
Let's hear from the Newcastle boss now.
I thought the performance was at such a high level. I thought we were really good tonight and deserved all the rewards we got from our first half performance. It was high intensity, really good energy and really high level. Probably, I think the early goal always settles you down. I think it was a great finish from Anthony, and he goes through and scores really well. And then we're able to continue the momentum. And We created a number of chances in that first half. I thought it was an outstanding display, probably our best in a long, long time. Thought Qarabag were unlucky to sort of find us in that kind of form on the night, and they showed their qualities and their threats in the game. They had their moments, but I thought in the main we defended pretty well.
Second look at St James's Park in 6 days' time, and Newcastle effectively know, don't they, that they're into the round of 16. Elsewhere, Leverkusen with the visitors in Perez to face Olympiacos, looking to avoid a repeat of the same result when the sides met on match day 7, a 2-0 victory for Olympiacos. Well, they needn't have worried, thanks to a quick fire double from their Czech forward Patrick Schick shortly after the hour mark.
Here is Schick, who's through, big chance, 1-0. Clinical from Patrick Schick to put Bayer Leverkusen in front. They've passed up a few chances, but Patrick Schick has passed that one into the back of the net. Schick rising again, it's two! Patrick Schick at the double! And Leverkusen take a stranglehold on the tie. 2 goals in 3 minutes from Patrick Schick.
Yeah, and he finished as the player of the match as well, unsurprisingly. First of all, what does that win mean for Bayer Leverkusen, where they are right now, Kev?
It's really important for them. They've basically had to rebuild half of the squad because they lost some key players in the summer. Florian Wirtz went to Liverpool, for example. Granit Xhaka went to Sunderland. That was huge. Jonathan Tah, Jeremy Frimpong. So you're looking at that. Xabi Alonso moves. They bring in Erik ten Hag and have to change coach 3 games in because they recognised it wasn't quite the right fit for them. So Kasper Hjulmand, the former Denmark coach, comes in and he's got a lot of new players and you're not quite sure how it's going to go. He's done a really good job, but he hasn't. What I admire about him is he hasn't panicked when it's gone wrong. And Patrick Schick's a kind of microcosm of that, because there was a spell where I think Schick had scored in 1 of 9 games, and Hjulmand was asked about it and he said the goals will come. He's playing well, the goals are going to come. Lo and behold, he started scoring goals. He's been scoring them domestically. Now he's been scoring them in the Champions League as well. So I think, given how the league phase game went in Piraeus and they lost 2-0, this is a huge boost confidence-wise for them.
Olympiacos did have a goal ruled out for offside in the first half, as it actually on its way towards the net flicked off Mehdi Taremi, who came back from injury to play for Olympiacos. But I think there'll be some relief as well for Bayer tonight, Kev, because they had lots of first half chances as well. They hit the frame of the goal and tested the keeper.
Yeah, and that's been a running theme as well. It's been that not always having that clinical edge in front of goal, but what they always tend to do is they always tend to create. I think Poku has been a really good signing. He looks as though he's got the ability to put together a run of performances. I think Alex Grimaldo, given the names that I mentioned had left the club in the summer, he's really stepped up. He has really stepped up in a leadership position, and they've got a lot of young talent. They have the potential to be a very exciting team.
Okay, so it finished Olympiacos 0 by Leverkusen. So let's switch our attention back to some of the other games. Let's go back to matters in Bruges, where it finished 3-3 between Club Brugge and Atletico. Let's hear from the hosts' striker, Nicolo Trissoldi, who thinks they should head into the second leg in Madrid with plenty of confidence.
Why not? I think we played a really, really good match today, 3-3, and I think we can go there in Madrid and play to have fun and to give everything, and then we will see what will happen. But I think that we show also today that we are capable to beat or to compete also with Atletico.
It was his header on target that was saved by Jan Oblak that led to the goal for 2-1 to get Club Brugge back into the game before his own finish himself, his 12th of the season, after a super assist from winger Mamadou Diack onto Club Brugge 3, Atletico 3. Let's switch things back to a remarkable night in Norway as Bodø Glimt beat Inter by 3-1. Jens Petter Hauge scored Bodø's second. Here he is reflecting on a hard-fought victory.
We have to learn from this game. It was a very tough game. Inter is a very, very, very strong team with a lot of quality. So, yeah, we have to now analyze well and prepare for San Siro.
Okay, gents, let's have your highlight of the match night on Wednesday. Rich, you pick something out from the Bodø Glimt game, and Kev, you've got to do something from the other three.
I think I'll go with the third goal for Bodø Glimt, because you get a second goal in the space of 3 or 4 minutes. The place was already rocking. That established a 2-goal advantage, and it was a beautiful team goal one that they would have dreamt, frankly, of scoring. One, they've probably seen their team score 1,000 times, but to do it at that moment, on that occasion, was a terrific moment.
I'm going to go for Christos Solis. It's a fantastic finish. When Club Brugge needed it. And I really admire the grit and determination they showed to come back from that late own goal from Ordóñez. So, yeah, great finish from
him. We all do it again. 6 days' time, the reverse of these tyres. Kev Richard, thank you very much for your company. Remember how the games finished on Wednesday night. Karabakh 1, Newcastle 6. Olympiakos 0, Leverkusen 2. Budde Glimt 3, Inter 1. And Club Brugge 3, Atletico 3. The Champions League returns Tuesday the 24th of February for the return legs of tonight's ties, and we'll have full commentary and updates live from 2100 CET with a podcast available after every night of the competition. But for now, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.